You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Back on our late grind, apparently. Yeah, it's like 6 o'clock. Just didn't get to it early. But we're working towards being a normal human person doing a normal human podcast. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On podcast, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire, through USA Today Sports Media Group. We're going to touch a lot of different things again today because there's a lot of different things to touch on. We're really probably going to delve into some of the, I guess it's some things that we've kind of talked about, but I do want to talk about the idea that this team knows where what it needs to do. And with that in mind, we'll kind of hit on some of the fan base things, because it's just something that annoys me now. It's become like rote for a lot of people. And I've seen some pushback from some media people, you know, lower level media people, but nonetheless, and I feel the same. I feel like we all feel kind of the same. So we'll touch on that, and we'll touch out. I did an article today called The Breakout 10, predicting Michigan football's next great players. It's all informed. It's not just me throwing darts at the wall necessarily. It's informed by the players themselves. These are the guys that the teammates have talked about. Their teammates have talked about. So I want to get into that as well. Let's go ahead and start with, though, the fan base thing, because that's first and foremost on my mind right now when it comes to it. But before we do, I do have to mention, if I know how to operate my computer, which I don't, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Tell them that Locked On sent you. Okay. You're probably going to hear some squeaking at any moment because Zuri's found her stuffed pig. I think just saying her name was enough to get her to stop paying attention to it. Anyhow, one of the things that annoys me lately when it comes to the fan base, and I understand it because, like, I talked to my best friend about it, and he's in the same camp, right? He's like, I'll believe it when I see it. And, you know, there's this, I understand. You want to see the results before you start buying in. And I think that that's fair, but it's starting to, the do more, say less crowd is being really loud in the sense of, like, these guys can't say anything without people kind of being in a state of upheaval. And that's a little much. That's a little rich for my blood in the sense that, like, listen, they have to be able to, if we have them for an hour at Big Ten Media Days, they're going to answer questions, right? And I know people say, well, what I want to hear is, we haven't been good enough, and we're striving to make it better, and Ohio State is our focus. Well, guess what? That's what they said at Big Ten Media Days. Now, if you want to take insider notes, this guy looks great at practice, this guy looks awesome at practice, and take it with a grain of salt, so be it. Because, listen, we've all been burned with that, right? How long have we heard of certain players and how the light switch has turned on and it just hasn't come to fruition? How much did we hear that Donovan Peoples-Jones and Tariq Black were just looked otherworldly in practice? Listen, I heard it from people at practice. Just because it looked good in practice doesn't mean it's going to look good in games. I mean, that's what we've talked about with Mike Sainristil and Eric Gall, right? They can do it on State Street, but they haven't been able to do it on Main Street. Same thing with some of those guys. But that doesn't make the other thing less true, right? That they've looked really good in practice. A guy isn't going to look awful in practice and then come into a game and just ball out. That's just not what's going to happen. That's just not how it works, right? I mean, that guy's not going to get in the game anyway. So, same kind of thing like when we talk about quarterbacks, for instance, right? Like Wilton Spate was the guy who was leading the charge. People wanted to see John McCorn and Brandon Peters. How was Michigan with either of the latter two compared to Wilton Spate? Not nearly as good. So there is credence that should be paid attention to some of these things. But at the same time, like, if players are saying, like, yeah, What I've seen from this guy is this guy's ready. That means that he's doing the work behind the scenes. Now, does it happen when the lights turn on? I mean, that's up to them. That doesn't make the other thing less true, though. You know what I mean? So, and they're going to talk about things. And like people like to say, well, these Michigan players, they just don't stop talking. Listen, the way that you all, not you all as in everybody, but those of you who detract on the off-season reports, talk like Michigan's out there running their mouths. They have not been doing that for a long time. Yeah, they might have little digs here and there. I don't even think like Joe Milton saying after the Michigan State game that he didn't know who Antoine Simmons was. Like, I don't even think that that was like a dig. I think he didn't know the dude's name. He said, like, call him out by number. He might be like, oh, okay, that guy. Yeah, he was everywhere. But Michigan isn't really out there like saying we're going to be the best. They haven't done that. Like, maybe in like 2016, parts of 2017, maybe even parts of 2018. But like even like the Caron Higdon guarantee, he was goaded into that guarantee, you know? So I think people need to take a little bit of perspective here, in the sense that you have to understand that if we're going to ask, if you want them to talk, which you do, and they're going to, right? Because that's why we have media availability. If you want them to talk, they're going to say what's on their mind. And these guys haven't come out there with bravado, especially this group. This group has been very humble. They've been very open about, Aiden Hutchinson says, hey, you know what? 2-4. What is there to talk about? You know, Josh Ross said the same thing. We're very well aware of our failings. So, with all of that in mind, like, they're going to say their piece. They're going to do their thing. If you want to filter it out and just say, well, these are the types of things they're said in the offseason, so be it, but don't shoot the messengers. You know what I mean? And don't shoot the people saying it either, because what else do you want them to say? That's the thing that Michigan seems to get in trouble for a lot, right? You see it on, like, the Ohio State sites, the Michigan State sites. Jim Harbaugh says we're gonna beat Ohio State and beat our rivals and or win the Big Ten or die trying. What else do you want him to say? Like, he's admitting that there's been a failure in that regard. What else do you want him to say? Think about it in that light. And everyone likes to say, well, I would say this, and I would say that, you know, and it's like, he said he struck the perfect chord. I'm sorry, he did. You know, you might not be happy with the way things have gone, and they haven't gone right, but let's not act like this has been an embarrassment of a program overall. It hasn't been. But it has been embarrassing that they haven't beaten Ohio State, they haven't won the Big Ten. The expectations heaped upon Jim Harbaugh have not come to fruition. But let's not act like going out there and saying the things that you say, in Harbaugh's case, in contractually obligated media appearances, like everything he says is under the finest of microscopes. And it gets really tiring sometimes. So anyway, that's my PSA. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about the change in that messaging from the kind of just meh, blasé, you know, we're Michigan, we are going to do what we're going to do, and kind of taking a step back, taking accountability, understanding where the team is right now. I think that it's the perfect time to kind of get into all of that, because I think that that's exactly what the team is kind of needed for a little while, was a little humble pie. Anyway, betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football, basketball, NHL, those all might be over. But Major League Baseball, that's in full swing. You got the NBA draft coming up this week. NHL draft finishing up here. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, with real-time updated odds, props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It is the best way to place your bets. And guess what? It's free to sign up. So head over to betonline.ag, sign up today, use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right. So people get mad about the messaging, but there's been some good when it's come to the messaging as well. And it's, like I said, a little bit of humble pie. It's exactly what you want. I like what some of these guys said last week. Jim Harbaugh was asked directly, do you feel the pressure right now? And he says, all of it. And he said, you know, for better or worse, whether it's a blessing or a curse, you just have to have that gene in you that you've got to do your best. You got to give your best at all times. And eventually you've got to be the best. We're capable of that. There are some other guys, too. There are other coaches that have that blessing or curse as well. I'm seeing them on our staff. Guys have got to get that done. Josh Ross says, I'm not going to blame it on the players, the coaches. It was a whole collective unit talking about 2020. Not what we wanted to be as the year went on, losing, not a great culture, not a great environment. We're not winning. It's not going to be fun. It's not just players. It's not just coaches. It's everybody because we're a team. We're a team. So that's team, but in a negative way. Owning it. Taking ownership of what happened in 2020. Ross continues, that's our goal. We want to win as bad as our fans want to see us win. And this is another really important point that I constantly mention, and people love to say, no, they don't. As bad as our fans want to see us win, we want to win even more because we're actually out there playing. We're actually out there doing it. We're actually out there going and grinding. So true. Are you waking up at 5 a.m. and going for lifts? No, you're not. These guys are. Let's see. Another quote here. Harbaugh talks about the energy. He says that it started the first practice of spring ball, so they just tried to bottle it and all of that. And he continued saying, winning the offseason. Now, offseason is half the battle. I realize that. Winning the offseason is half the battle. That seems like it's an admission that maybe they weren't taking that nearly as seriously in the sense of a lot of different things. I don't know whether that's true or not. Harbaugh seems like he's constantly serious, but maybe that's getting back to that mentality that kind of started going out the window in 2018. The come on, give me a hug, Harbaugh. I mean, he's still approachable, but nonetheless. Winning the offseason is half the battle. I think we've done that. Now you take your best, healthiest team you can into training camp starting August 6th, and then you have at it. See how good you can get and go about winning that last half of the battle. Last quote here, and then we'll talk about this. Josh Ross says, last year was a tough year, and coming off of that, there was a lot of bad taste in a lot of my teammates' mouths, even coaches as well, bad taste in everybody's mouths, even fans, everybody. We know, coming back, we're never going to let that happen again for us, for everybody, because we know how great we can be, and it's starting with us as players. If it doesn't start with us, then it can't grow. That's the perfect chord to hit. That's accountability. That is recognizing what happened last year and letting that fuel what's going to happen going forward. Not quoted in my piece here that I'm reading from, Josh Ross talked about how maybe going 2-4 was the best thing that could happen to us. Maybe it was a wake-up call. I asked him, I said, hey, you've been a part of some really good teams. You know, how much does this starting to look like that? I mean, he didn't really answer that because he's like, you know what? I don't want to talk about it. I want to be about it. That's the mentality that they're starting to come with. I wonder if I still have that, if I have that quote here. Looking here and seeing if I have that. I think I do. I mean, he talked about needing to be more accountable. Got to change our environment. We got to be better leaders. We got to be more accountable. We got to be more to be more and better. We got to do that ourselves. Coaches can't do it for us. I'm not seeing the line that he had said about being about understanding that, like, they can't talk about it. Oh, right, here we go. This was the question that I asked him. He said about the defense. He said the best defenses I was a part of were the defenses that could work together the best. Of course, D. Bush, Rashawn, Chase, playing with all those, Uche, Kalik, LeVert Hill, David, playing with some dogs. But this new defense, we're just clicking, and we're growing, and we're close. We're growing every day. When we work out building that, spring ball was so good. This camp is going to be so big for us. It's really, the sky's the limit for us, but you guys will see it. I'm not going to do all the talking right now because it's the last thing that I want. So it's I know people are going to read that or hear that and say, well, you're just talks. But it's like he's saying, listen, I have confidence in us. I have faith in us. That's what you want them to say. You don't want them to be like, oh, geez, oh, shucks. I don't know if we can do it. Western Michigan's pretty formidable. I don't know we can do it. No, you want these guys to go into this season with a mentality of, we can do this. We know we're capable of it. We can do this. You want confidence brimming right now. I mean, it's going to be brimming. Even Western Michigan's probably approaching the Michigan game with the idea of, we're going to be able to go in there and shock the world. We're going to take them down. Right? Get a stop, get a score, knock them on their backs. Then let's see what we can do. The last thing you want is accountability mixed with the lack of confidence. You want this exact thing, accountability plus confidence. Hey, we did not do well. We did not hold up our end of the bargain last year. We have not done the things that we need to do. But we are capable of it, and we're going to make sure that that lesson is learned. Striking the right chord. It's everything that you want. So from Harbaugh on down, it really seems like the top. And that's one of those things that Ross talked about. It's like we're getting it from everybody, right? And it starts at the top. Starts with Harbaugh. Starts with the coaches. Starts with us players, first and foremost. He's like the leaders on the team, and we're pushing it. And it's being felt. It's reverberating through the locker room. So I think that's really exciting, honestly. I'm starting to get the feeling, and I know this is coming off of just talk, but I mean, I've had off-the-record conversations as well with some of these people. I'm starting to get the feeling that this thing really could go a lot better. Again, hinges on that Washington game. They play awesome against Western Michigan. If it's like 2014, play awesome against App State. Go get smacked by Notre Dame. All bets are off. If they play awesome against Western Michigan, go out and smack Washington, you at least are probably going to build a few wins before you get to that Wisconsin game. Right? It's the best you can hope for. You don't win the national championship in a day. I'm not saying Michigan's going to win the national championship. I'm just saying. You don't beat Ohio State in a day. All the comments on pretty much anything I post, who cares, just beat Ohio. Guess what? They can't do that today. The best they can do is keep that in mind and go and do the things it takes. And that's the mentality they have of everything we do is about beating Ohio State. So the thing, they can't do it in the way that you want to see them do it, which is scoreboard at the end. They have to do what they're doing now. And it sounds like they are doing the right things. Will it result in what you want? I'm not so sure. They want it just as much, but they want it more because they're the ones actually putting in extra time beyond the scheduled lift. I know that to be true. I see Michigan players at my gym working out. And I really do. And I'm like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, well, we were working out there, and now we just wanted to get another workout, different place, different locale, get something going. They're putting in the extra time. That's what you want. That's what you need. All right. Let's talk a little bit about rockauto.com. You know that I have used rockauto.com myself, and it has saved me boatloads of money when I have. rockauto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique. It's also remarkably easy to navigate. So quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brand, specifications, and the prices that you prefer. I love that part. You want a high-end part? Get it. You want a lower-end part? Get it. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Not really sure what time we are going to have the podcast tomorrow. It'll be probably mid to late afternoon. We have a plan to have Andy Staples from The Athletic on, so look forward to that. Assuming that does come to fruition, seems like it is going to, so look forward to that. Really excited about that. Okay, let's get to these. I didn't leave myself a ton of time to talk about my 10 guys. We'll count them down. Every single one of these guys was mentioned either by Jim Harbaugh or another player. Pretty sure all of them have been mentioned by other players, but I didn't necessarily hear all of them. But number 10 was kind of my most shot in the light. It's like he wasn't mentioned much. He was mentioned, but he wasn't mentioned much. And that's Taylor Upshaw. He's going to be a starter, of course. So it's kind of like, you know, it's his time. It's ready. This is the breakout players piece, by the way. So I'm not going to touch too much on Taylor Upshaw, but I think, I mean, he's going to have a breakout year kind of no matter how you look at it. Number 9, he was mentioned a couple times by a couple different players. Mike Morris. I think that I've heard that he had an incredible offseason. It sounds like this outside linebacker role is perfect for him. We haven't really seen him. He was injured in 2019, and then he came back, and, you know, it's year 3. He's ready to go. So excited to see him. He was already like a massive looking individual, and his very, you know, first time I saw him suited up, looked way different than as a recruit, having seen him both times. Number 8, Andrell Anthony. I mean, Harbaugh's favorite recruit in the last cycle, mentioned by Andrew Stuber as being the fastest guy on the offense. Says he's been kind of a tactician when it comes to route running and the details. I think maybe Michigan got a little bit of a steal in him, and he's a guy that's going to very vastly outperform his 3-star ranking. He's a guy that'd be very, very excited about. Number 7 is a name that we've heard a ton about, and he was mentioned. He was mentioned first linebacker mentioned outside of Michael Barrett by Josh Ross when I asked him who, you know, when you look at the linebacking core, who should we be paying attention to? It's Nakai Hill-Green. I mean, we've been hearing about him going back to the spring ball. He's always the first name outside of Josh Ross and Michael Barrett by any of the coaching staff, or, you know, so I think that that's pretty obvious. Number 6 is a little bit of an on-the-nose one, and that's Blake Corum. Listen, Blake has not broken out yet, but it feels like he has because there's been so much hype surrounding him, but you see everything that he's done, and the fact that Jim Harbaugh said that Hassan Haskins and Blake Corum are like 1A, 1B, I think that tells you that he's going to be a stud. Right in front of him on here, I have Donovan Edwards, who is behind him in the pecking order. But I think Donovan is a little bit more versatile. He's my number 5 here. And I think that Donovan is going to just... I think he is going to explode on the college football scene. Remember, I told you that I have... On very good authority, Ohio State saw him as a better version of J.K. Dobbins. He might not, you know, they might not need him to play straight out the gates in the same way that J.K. Dobbins did, right? Ohio State needed J.K. Dobbins to start because they had injuries at the position. Donovan can come on a little bit more slowly, but Jim Harbaugh says he's going to play game 1. He's going to knock your socks off, folks. I mean, I've seen him play at West Bloomfield. I've seen him in 7-on-7s. I've seen him do drills. I've seen all that stuff. I've been around Donovan for years now. He is going to knock your socks off. I remember the first time I talked to Ron Bellamy about him. I didn't even know anything about him. Michigan had just offered. And he's like, I'm like, who should I talk to? I'm gonna go talk to Lance Dixon. I'm going to talk to Makari Page. And he's like, well, you better talk to Donovan Edwards because this is going to be the best recruit that I've ever had come out of West Bloomfield. That's what he's going to be. And Bellamy is one that shoots me straight. He was always one that shot me straight when he was the head coach of West Bloomfield. I've had things with other coaches where they're like feeding, you know, talk to this guy. He's got a Toledo offer and he's a senior. Like, no. Bellamy's always been very judicious about, hey, you need to talk to this guy. This guy's going to be the real deal.
All right, recording stopped for some reason, so we have to go back and do some stuff over again. Telling you that because I want to here. Four more guys to talk about. Hopefully, we can keep this going. Probably going to do it a little faster than I did the first time. Number four, Jamon Green. Listen. Jamon came on really strong those last two games of the year. Lights clicked on. He's the only one that has locked down a starting spot of the corners. Vincent Gray is in a battle with DJ Turner. Jamon Green, starter. It's done. Barring injury, knock on wood, it's done. Jamon Green's a starter. Think he's gonna shine with Steve Klinkscale, who has a really good track record of putting guys like him very high in the NFL draft. Number three, we've seen glimpses, but honestly, he hasn't broken out yet. Cornelius Johnson, who Harbaugh was just waxing ecstatic about, just talking about, hey, this guy has just really figured things out. Like, he's got everything you want. He's fast, route running tactician, everything. Everything you want. I don't have to say much more. I think we all expect Cornelius Johnson to really break out. I think it'll help having guys like Daylon Baldwin on the other side of him, too. That's why I kind of think Daylon Baldwin's going to really shine. Number two, from Blairstown, New Jersey, Blair Academy. He's new to football in high school. David Ajabo, he's been a bit of a project. But the project's done. It's ready. It's ready to go. Entering his third year, I think he's just going to be an absolute stud mentioned by both Aiden Hutchinson and Andrew Stuber. I think you take a lot of credence when it's an offensive lineman saying, like, that defensive guy is just a beast. Always been kind of an athletic freak. I think it's time for him to really shine. And I think from what we've kind of gotten from those players and Jim Harbaugh, it sounds like David Ajabo, the lights have really turned on. Just kind of had to bide his time with the players in front of him. And now he's been percolating and now he's ready. Number one should be no surprise, Mozzie Smith. I know a lot of you saw the picture that I posted when I first arrived at Tufts, and he just looked like an absolute beast, an absolute freak behemoth of a person. I think that I've followed Mozzie for years, right? I've seen him on the sidelines as a recruit going way back. And the thing about Mozzie is he is absolutely in the best shape of his life. And you know what? He has the right mentality. I'm not afraid to share part of my conversation with him from Saturday. Talk to him about, you know, like you have the cordial conversation. How's your summer been? I mean, it's like, oh, good. Just takes him for a lot of walks and blah, blah, blah. Mozzie says, my summer has just been working out. Because you know what? If I want name, image, likeness, if I want a $70 million contract in the NFL, the way I'm going to get that is by not taking days off and working extremely hard and proving it on the field. It's the right mentality. It's everything that you want. So it's right there. All right, we're out of time. Again, tomorrow, Andy Staples should be on the podcast. Looking forward to that. I'm sure we'll have other things that we can touch on. Look for that mid to late afternoon. All right. For that in mind, thank you for listening. We will talk to you soon. Peace.